Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Today, we zero in on orchids and got an expert here, Chuck Aker. He's been with us before. He's an orchid specialist with Orchids Garden Center and Nursery in Wanakee. It's a beautiful place to visit and to look at orchids and probably buy a few, too. I think that happens most of the time when people stop in. Pretty hard not to do that. He's with us today to talk about orchids and also to talk about a great event, Orchid Quest 2012, that's coming up on the 4th and 5th of February. And that's always a fun event as well. So we'll get some information about that. We will learn what he does with Orchids Garden Center and Nursery in Wanakee. And, of course, he's ready and willing to answer your questions when you call in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. And please go ahead and post a question or comment on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. As a matter of fact, I hope you'll, if you have some photos, orchid photos, we'd certainly love to see them as well. So post a picture. As a matter of fact, I don't know if we got it up yet, but Judith will have up here sooner rather than later some photos of some orchids that Chuck brought along today. And they are beautiful, and you're going to want to see them. So you're going to have to go to our Facebook page and take a look at the orchids he brought along. She's working at it right now, and we'll have those up in just a minute or two. And Chuck, great to have you back.
Well, thank you, Larry. It's a great honor to be here.
Well, I tell you what, we have a lot of fun whenever you're here, and you brought some beautiful orchids today. Tell us a little bit about Orchids Garden Center and Nursery in Wanakee. I know you've done some expansion out there.
Well, we have. We're under new ownership as of October 2007, and what has happened since then is a great new addition has been put onto our facility, which almost doubles the size of our place, offering a nice, spacious, tropical plant section, a little waterfall back in there, a lot of eclectic things growing and displayed in that section, as well as a great new section for the garden center aspect of the business for the spring bedding plants, annuals and perennials and so forth. And we're looking into expanding into some of the nursery stock, you know, trees and shrubs. The owner's son specializes in a bit of that, too. Landscape service going to be developed out of our business from the owner's son as well. And we're also expanding our entire orchid collection, too, going into some very rare and unusual species of orchids that are collected from different nurseries all over the country as well as abroad to, you know, give the orchid customers something, you know, a little bit more to choose from.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you, this is an enormous place, and it's so much fun to walk down those aisles looking at those orchids. How many orchids would you have out there?
Right now, I think we're probably pushing about 10 to 12,000 different plants. This is really the best time of the year to come and see them in their glory because most of our orchid stock does flower through the months of December in through like May or early June. And then it gets a little quiet through the summer, but we do have different orchids that flower in the summer that you won't see during those winter spring months too. So it's constantly changing and it's such an array of different varieties, especially with the new items that we're getting in all the time.
And Marion Oliva has a comment or a question. So let's go there. Hi, Mary. Thank you for calling.
Oh, I'm glad you're there. A couple of years ago, I went to a really good workshop, and somebody had taken a trip to Ecuador. Is there anybody in your group that keeps track of where are their orchid trips to go on?
Well, not so much in our business. There are some places that you can contact for that information. If you want to go internationally, I know that there's several different companies that make trips like that, and one is located in Florida. The business name is RF Orchids, and I've seen them advertise quite a few different trips to South America, Peru, you know, Ecuador area, and so on. That would be a good start, and then, of course, you know, internet searches on material like that can yield a whole host of different people that can offer those types of trips. But we personally, you know, do not do anything like that abroad. The local orchid club here in Madison, the Orchid Growers Guild, they often put together short trips to native orchid areas, like in, you know, northern Wisconsin and so on, and they go visit those throughout the summer months to see some of the natives blooming, but nothing, you know, tropical or abroad.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mary.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. An email from Jeanette in Milwaukee. She says, I purchased a Zygolum, is it? Louisendorf orchid last February at the Mitchell Park Domes in Milwaukee. Several weeks later, half the leaves develop black or dark spots all over the leaf. I put the plant in another room. I washed the leaves with a solution of water, soap, and baking soda. Nothing works. One advisor said, throw it out. Another said, this is a common problem. Just ignore it. What do you think?
Well, she got some good advice there initially. It is a common problem on that genera to get the black, you know, bacterial leaf spotting on the leaves. It predominantly comes from if the leaves have gotten wet, especially on a repetitive basis, and especially during the nighttime. So perhaps if she was misting or something in the house too often and the leaves were just remaining wet too long, it is inherent to that particular genus. I wouldn't be too alarmed about it. Watch the new growth that's going to come up and develop through the next growing cycle and see how they respond. If they start to show any bacterial black spot, I would suggest using something like Physan. It's a great product to actually spray on the leaves of orchids to control some of this material, and it's a very safe and non-toxic product. It's basically a disinfectant, and it's used widely in the orchid world. Pretty much obtainable from any orchid vendor. You can probably buy it online, too. Small bottle costs about $8, and mix it up and mist it on the leaves. It's really a good product to control some of that material.
There you go. Thank you very much for that question. Larry in Madison, let's turn to you. Hi, Larry.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
We received a gift of an orchid. It's a Smithsonian Love Petite, and it's basically in a little plastic bottle, and I'm wondering what I should use for media to replant it in, and lighting and watering.
Okay. Is this a seedling orchid?
Which?
Is it like a seedling, a small orchid that's not flowering?
It has flowers on it. I have a little concern because out on the end there's buds that are ready to open, but they're turning a little brown.
Yeah, well, the name you gave me is probably just a generic trade name. It would help if we had a genus at least on that, so we know at least what genera you're, you know, referring to.
Yeah.
Since you're in Madison, you know, feel free to bring it out to our greenhouse and let's take a look at it, and you know, we can set you up with the right potting material and everything and get you the right cultural advice with it, because you know the generic name you gave me isn't really helping a lot to know exactly what you have, and knowing what you have is really the first step in providing you with the correct information on how to deal with it.
Okay, yeah. We'll try and do that. Where are you located about?
We are just north of Highway M on Highway Q. You're leaving the city limits of Middleton, we're just right there.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot for calling. It's a nice little drive. We had a question from Sandy in Wausau who emailed it in. She said, I would love to have an orchid. Could you give me some names of those that are the easiest to grow for a person who's never had one? I have a north window that has room for one.
Okay, well, the north window doesn't always offer the best light for an orchid. If she wanted to get started, it would be highly recommended to supplement some light with just a simple artificial grow light or something there just to, you know, provide a little bit more lumens for the plant. Because here in our climate, the north window doesn't offer a whole lot of light most of the year, just for a couple months in the summer. But if she were to start with an orchid, we highly recommend the Phalaenopsis orchid, which is commonly known as the moth orchid. And they have come now in so many new and different colors and even, you know, miniaturized versions. And, you know, you can pick up a beautiful blooming Phalaenopsis orchid, you know, for as low as $10 You know, give it a shot, see how it works for you. And, you know, like I said, the north window really isn't the best light for them, but supplementing with an artificial light will certainly, you know, provide enough light for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for that question. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. And but also go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show and post a photo. I know we've got some. I'm going to have to go take a look here and see if I can find what people have posted so far. What about light? So you mentioned north-facing window, not good. What are the light requirements for an orchid?
Well, typically here in Wisconsin, you know, we like to see the orchid get as much light as you possibly can, short of damaging the leaves from too much light. And, you know, that's pretty hard to do in the house situation. We're dealing with, you know, lots of thermal pane glass in our homes in this part. You know, we've got overhangs on our house. We've got screens on our windows. Now we're seeing more and more houses being retrofitted with the new glass, low E, which cuts down a lot of the beneficial rays of the light for plant growth. So you really need to try to, you know, find your east, your west, or your south-facing exposures and, you know, give your orchids as much light as you possibly can. If you happen to, you know, breach the threshold and you've all of a sudden got a little sunburn or sun scald on the leaf, you know, then you know that was, you know, the max it can take and you can back off from that. But my advocation is to just give your orchids as much light as you possibly can, short of damaging their leaves.
Let's turn to Julia in Mondovi next. Hi, Julia. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm just wondering, I have a few questions. Like, is there a good how-to book? And we don't have, I'm always searching for an appropriate pot to, like, repot an orchid. I know they have, like, the potting mix that's already, you know, for orchids or they're suggested for orchids.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like when to fertilize and all that, I think a book would be good. But I have a couple of orchids and the roots, you know, that kind of come out of the top of the pot or lay on the top of the pot under the wood chip. They sometimes start shriveling back. And so I'm just, but there's good growth behind, you know, healthy part behind it. And I'm wondering, is it a good idea just to snip that dried part off or just leave it? Or
okay, well, you know, a lot of the orchid roots are kind of cyclic, you know, so they're going to come out and do their growing, you know, for a while. They're going to look nice and healthy and they're going to be speeding right along, and then all of a sudden they'll kind of dry back, and I think that's what you're seeing there too. And that's fairly common in the household, you know, the home environment. Once some of them have died back like that or browned off, new roots usually start appearing someplace else, and that cycle just kind of keeps completing itself. I wouldn't be too worried about cutting a lot of them off at that point until you actually do the repotting, and at that time when the plant is out of the pot, the plant is sitting there bare root, you can do a little bit of root trimming at that point. And as far as, you know, choosing the kind of pot, it depends a little bit on the genera of orchid that you have. Some prefer plastic pot, just a basic, you know, green or black plastic growing pot. Others provide a little bit better growth if they're put into a clay pot, and that just helps the aeration and absorbability there. It helps to dry the roots out a little bit quicker. So you can kind of diversify that a little bit. If we know exactly what type of orchids, you know, that you have there, we can give you a little bit more specifics on the pot that it prefers.
It's just the orchid that has like kind of the bigger leaves. I think it's the more common type.
Phalaenopsis?
Yeah, probably the Phalaenopsis, and we really prefer those to be in a plastic pot. They often will do very well in clay, too, but what we see with clay in general is it absorbs a lot of the minerals that's in the water, and especially the minerals that are in the fertilized water. So once that mineral starts to absorb and adhere to the inner portion of the pot, when the roots are in contact with that, it sometimes damages them. So we really prefer the plastic pot for the Phalaenopsis just for that reason. So they usually do really well in that. And back to your book question, there's a ton of books out there on orchids, that is for sure. And you're going to find that a lot of those are going to give you different, you know, informational aspects from whoever's writing it. We really advocate to read our care sheets posted on our website. They're written to provide you with the correct information on how to grow the orchid right here in our, you know, Wisconsin upper Midwestern climate. And I think that's going to probably help you the most. But if you like to look at pictures and stuff, of course, there's a lot of books out there that can be had.
Okay, make sure you give your website then. And I'm also wondering what kind of water, like is tap water okay? We have like a water softener, and I usually, you know, draw the water into the watering can and let it sit for a few days so it gets room temperature, and then hopefully if there's, you know, too much mineral or salt, it'll, because I also have a filter on it, but it's a water softener, and then I just, so it maybe settles to the bottom.
Ooh. You may not be, if you're using cold water for your watering.
No, it sits for a couple of days.
But the water softeners typically will only operates on the warm water or the hot water.
Okay.
Yeah, so be careful with that. The soft water is becoming an issue, too. A lot of the houses are plumbed entirely soft nowadays.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, just for the porcelain fixtures and so on. We're running into that constantly. So if you can decipher whether or not your water is coming through the softener at that source that you're using, you know, don't use it if it's softened. And if your water is incredibly hard, where it's leaving some water spotting on, you know, your dishes or whatever, you'll probably want to catch a little rainwater, melt some snow, buy some distilled water and mix it with your current tap water. You don't need to have an ultra pure water source, but you'll want to cut down those, you know, salts and those minerals that are in the water that comes out of the ground here in our area.
I didn't know that they were doing that with some.
Yeah,
it's good. And ours is. We do have a whole plumbed.
Yeah. The only option you'd probably have is go outside, because those spigots usually are not run through the softener. And if they are, you'll want to call a plumber and have that fixed.
Yeah, they aren't, that's for sure. So what's the website then, if you want to give that to sometime during?
Our website is orchidsgardencenter.com.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot for calling. And we also have a link to website, Chuck's website, on our Facebook page, too, at The Larry Mueller Show. So you can go there. And I think, by the way, Judith has got, here we go, on our Facebook page. Go to the Facebook page. And Judith's taking some shots of the orchids that Chuck brought today just for display purposes, just to show. And they're really cool orchids, and we'll be talking about them, so you might want to take a look at them. And we also got a picture or two. Let's see, Judith, are you moving that around? Let's see here. Picture of a coral orchid that somebody found near the Devil's Lake area and took a picture of it near the Devil's Lake area.
One of the natives. You bet.
That's a beautiful. How many native orchids do we have?
Well, there is approximately 50 known native species of orchids in Wisconsin, and that is not a real field of expertise for me, but I do get familiarized with a few of them here and there, especially the slipper orchid family of the natives. But that's not a huge field that I have ever deluged into, because we're mostly tropical in what we grow and sell at our range for, you know, indoor growing specifically, whereas these are, you know, outdoor plants that winter over. You know, they're native to our climate, so.
Well, and that coral, that's a really pretty orchid.
There's some really interesting native orchids in this part. And like I was telling the earlier caller, the local society here, the Orchid Growers Guild, you know, they often take field trips out to some of these areas where they know that there's good populations of these during their flowering time, you know, whether it's May or July. They take the group out and, get together with them and see some of these out in the wild.
In fact, Chuck in Holy Hill with us and has, I think, a comment on some native orchids. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, and I just, a couple of years ago, I had this orchid, it was a flower I couldn't identify, and I had a plant specialist come, and it was on this path, it's about 15, 20 feet wide, and it goes through the woods, and there was this, he identified it as Orchis spectabilis, and then I should have maybe put a fence around it so the deer didn't eat it off, because that next year it was gone, and I was wondering if that was a perennial or an annual, and if I should have had a little fence around it to keep the deer from eating the blossom.
Oh, yes, definitely. If you can locate some of those plants like that and keep the, you know, the deer from consuming them, you know, that's a big deal. I mean, we're hearing more and more about that, just even in the city limits where people have a couple of collections of some of the native slipper orchids in their yard. And lo and behold, you know, the deer come along and just mow them down. So certainly get some fence around that when you can identify them and try to protect them. They'll probably come back even though it got mowed down, hopefully.
Yeah. It's a perennial. It is a perennial then.
Right, yes. They're native. They're winter hardy. They will come back year after year if they're not, you know, disrupted too much during, you know, their dormant season. So
They're growing.
There you go.
Okay, well, I'll do that. I'll just watch for it and then put a little fence around it.
You bet.
Sounds good, Chuck. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Kelly in Muskego, it is your turn. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I, a few years back, had a phalaenopsis, and I was just doing a little reading online about trying to get it to rebloom, and I was successful in getting it to rebloom, but then I noticed that it was starting to get a little too big for its original pot. So what I did was I put it in sphagnum moss, and I can't remember what else I mixed with it, and then I put it in a glazed-over pottery vase that had holes cut in it to let ventilation go through it. And I wasn't really quite sure how much I should be watering that, but apparently I was watering it too much, and it ended up getting root rot.
Mm.
So wow. I wasn't quite sure if I obviously overwatered it, but
yes.
How would you go about watering something like that?
Well, when they're in the sphagnum moss, you'll notice that that does hold some moisture. It's like a big sponge, and it's really actually a good product if you know how it behaves, and then you can kind of, you know, culture that accordingly. Typically, watering in sphagnum moss on an average pot's 2 to 3 week intervals, so it stays fairly damp. And so it's less watering, less fertilizing. It's actually pretty easy to deal with versus some of the bark mixes. But you have to know that it is going to stay wet that long. And sometimes it'll trick you a little bit. You know, you feel it on the top and it's feeling, you know, a little bit dry. And then down in there, yet it's still damp. So, you know, I always advocate to drive a sharpened pencil into the potting medium, whether it's bark or sphagnum moss, and just look at the wood of the sharpened part of the pencil when you pull it out to see how much dampness is on it. And if it's damp, let it go. You're always far better off underwatering orchids than you are to, you know, overwater them. So depending on how bad off that thing is rotted, you know, you may be able to save it. You get it out of that mix and trim off your bad roots and size down your pot so it's a smaller pot and repot it with some fresh, you know, media, whatever you want to use, sphagnum or bark based, and culture it along accordingly.
Okay, so it's okay to use just straight sphagnum moss?
Yeah, if it's the long fibered sphagnum moss that's commonly used in the orchid industry, not your typical Canadian sphagnum that's real fine and dense. This long fibered moss is, you know, just long strands, and it basically originates from New Zealand or Chile. So those are the types, you know, we sell it, we use it. It's a great product, but you just have to know that it's going to stay a little wet.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks so much for calling. And on to Lee in Johnson Creek. Hi, Lee.
Hello. I have a couple little problems, but I have probably almost 30 orchids, and I've been with them for many years, and I've got some Cattleyas. They're my favorite, but I only have a couple. They're not doing good. I repotted them and cut some off, and they keep growing, but I can't get them to be big and fat. The pseudobulbs don't get big and fat, and I haven't had a flower in years.
Okay.
All right.
Cattleyas here now.
Yeah, yeah, the Cattleya. Sometimes when it gets off the beaten trail of growing properly, you know, it gets what we called stunted or dwarfed. And sometimes they don't grow out of that. My father taught me that as a very young boy in this business that, you know, a lot of times when the Cattleya gets like that, it's just best to turn your head and toss it and start over,
really?
Unfortunately. But, you know, if you really want to be diligent and give it a whirl, they really respond to summering outdoors.
They do.
Yeah, we highly advocate to get them outside about June 1st or so. And get them in the shade and let them experience our Midwestern summer climate all the way until the nights start to fall below 50.
Yep.
And then bring it in. And when you bring it in, it's important that it's in a room that's going to get a lot of light. They're going to want, you know, probably a west or a south in our climate.
Is the east window too hot?
No, east window wouldn't be too hot. I'm just afraid it's not going to be enough brightness for you. Oh. You know, they really like a lot of light, and they like the cool night. So they sometimes do best in a room that you're actually not occupying at night, so it can get a little bit cooler than what you may be comfortable with. Uh-huh. I personally use a spare bedroom for such, and it's a west-facing window. Warms up in the day, obviously, when the sun is shining, and then at night the heat vent is closed, so the temperature will drop, you know, to the upper 50s or so. So that really helps. And then, you know, just keep repotting it, keep it in some fresh mix so the roots are happy. And, you know, if you're diligent, I've had a lot of customers make me eat crow when I tell them to, you know, throw that thing out, and they'll repot it, and they'll come back a year later, and that thing is looking good. So, you know, it can be done.
It is getting new growth, and it does have new stems.
Well,
I also wanted to tell you about my dendrobiums. I've had some for years and years. I have them hanging in my sunroom. I had three big ones, and they were in baskets because they got so long. Would you believe some of those branches are 7 foot long?
Oh, my gosh.
No.
And
holy
I've got
cow.
Two big ones, and the other one I tried to transplant. They've been in that same sphagnum moss for probably 9 years.
Oh, my gosh. You know, dendrobiums are like that, though. They just get to be so robust, and you're doing an excellent job. I'm very impressed.
You just can't transplant them. I tried one, but I killed it.
Yeah, that's very true. You're doing an awesome job, though.
There's roots all over on top, all over. They're growing all over.
Yeah, plants like that, sometimes you just take the existing pot and everything just the way it is and set it into a slightly larger pot and just throw a handful of mix or something in there and let it take over that pot. You know, don't even disrupt the original
well,
pot.
Well, they're hanging from the ceiling. There's no way of getting it into another pot because they all keep crawling out and grew from in between the slats. My son made me these baskets.
Sure.
Oh,
just
man.
A big wild plant.
You got Lee, a jungle going there.
Lee, you got to take a photo of that and put it up on my Facebook page.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Oh, I would love to see that.
A while ago, and you know what? Something I didn't know with dendrobiums, they'll have flowers 2-3 times out of one stem.
Right.
I never knew that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they get fully matured and they're happy, you bet. You're doing an awesome job.
Yeah, when you have 6 of them in bloom at one time, it is beautiful.
Good for you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Talking about orchids today on this edition of Garden Talk, I'm Larry Mueller with my guest Chuck Aker, who is an orchid specialist with Orchids Garden Center and Nursery in Wanakee. Judith Sears-Poisson, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network. If you have a question about orchids, growing orchids, or the various types of orchids that you could grow, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, as we talk with Chuck Aker of Orchids Garden Center and Nursery in Wanakee, Wisconsin, just outside of Madison. Love to have you call in or email us or go to our Facebook page. Lots of great photos up there now. We'll talk about them in a minute. But I got an email from Tyler who says, I have a terrestrial vivarium that is 75-gallon aquarium. There are fans for internal air circulation as well as some vents and a mister that runs twice a day. And humidity stays around 80% or higher. What orchids do you have in stock that would work well in these conditions?
Oh, boy.
Lots of them.
Oh, yeah. We've got a plethora of things now. You know, we've got some habanaria. We have some bulbophyllum, tolumnia. These are all small-growing genera that, you know, are free-flowering, easy to grow, and they love the terrarium settings. And, of course, there's dozens and dozens of other things now. Some of the genera that we had just recently gotten in the last few months, just not right at the tip of my tongue, the names of them, but, boy, we have got a ton of stuff like that now. So you need to come out and check that out.
And you have, we have some photos up on my Facebook page of what you brought today. Would any of those
work? The miniature orchids that are shown there, the miniature Phalaenopsis and the little orange miniature Cattleya, all good terrarium units too, just because of their size. They don't take a lot of space and they bloom easily. They bloom a long time. But there's a whole host of things now. The miniature material is just becoming more and more popular every day, just for the terrarium, you know, units too, as well as people are running out of space on their windowsills.
Yeah. And what's the other orchid that you brought today? It's so beautiful.
Well,
the large one.
Yeah, that is the most showy there, isn't it? That is commonly known as the pansy orchid, the Miltonia or Miltonopsis. Becoming very, very popular.
It's pretty.
Oh, they're fragrant. They come in an array of colors. It's a very good house plant along with the Phalaenopsis. They love our climate indoors of our houses. They love the temperature ranges that we keep our homes at. They're not fussy with, you know, different light durations or getting cool nights so much to get them to flower. They're free flowering. They bloom for a couple of months. We've got yellows and whites and different shades of reds with these waterfall lip patterns. Fragrant in the morning, a nice, beautiful, just really sweet smelling aroma.
Yeah,
they're really becoming very popular.
They really do smell wonderful. I mean, you can smell here in the studio.
Yeah, just starting to put out some now.
Yep, it is. And we had a nice photo collection here from Marie in Trempealeau. What's she got here?
Well, she's got a green lady slipper orchid, tropical in origin. This is the Asian lady slipper, commonly known as the Maudii type. Great house plants. They'll bloom twice a year generally, and they'll stay in flower a couple of months, if not more. Beautiful, glossy green and white flowers. Really super easy to grow too as a house plant. And when they're not in flower, they actually have a beautiful mottled foliage, with the green and white striation to them, and really good-looking plants. And then there's a couple of beautiful Phalaenopsis orchids she's got posted there, too.
Beautiful. Let's go to Marilyn in Cable. Hi, Marilyn.
Yes, good morning. Greetings from Cable, and where we're holding the Paralympics at Mount Telemark. The activity is there this weekend. I had a couple comments. I've been real successful here in Cable growing orchids in a west window with some shaded blinds.
Mm-hmm.
We have a sunroom that faces due south, and in fact, I've got 5 in bud, Phalaenopsis, and 1 lady slipper, Napa Valley, with 2 huge blooms in it. It's just spectacular.
Oh, good for you. That's quite a sight up in your area.
It is. It is, to give some color.
Absolutely.
And so I was going to encourage anyone who is this far north that you still can have luck with them. And I know I heard you mention the Miltonia. I have one of those. I've been experimenting with some different orchids.
Good.
It's bloomed, but not in bud right now.
Okay.
But I did hear part of your comment of keeping Phalaenopsis more in plastic than in clay pots.
Mm-hmm.
So you would advise that. I've got a couple, in fact, 1 very large one, but it's not blooming or not setting buds.
Okay.
Maybe that's an issue with it then.
Well, not so much. You know, when you go to do your repotting and you're looking at the roots and they're going to talk to you, you know, they're going to tell you exactly what that plant was happy with or wasn't happy with at that time. So, I mean, if you see a lot of root demise, you know, they're all brown and shriveled and dry, kind of. You know, that's usually a salt damage issue, and that can come from the salts being built up on the clay. But if you're using good water and you're not over-fertilizing, you won't have a salt issue. So the clay is just fine, you know. And if you're using clay and you're fairly successful with your growth, stick with it. If it's not flowering yet, that may be just, you know, it needs another month or so yet to recharge from its last flowering episode.
Okay, it looks healthy. It's setting growing a couple new leaves.
Mm-hmm.
It has quite a few root growths and whatever, so maybe just some more patience with it then.
Yep, some more patience, and if you wanted to give it a little coaxing, the cooler nighttime temperatures help induce the flower spike initiation, and sometimes you just have to take that plant and move it from the shelf to the floor, or from one room to another that's a little cooler at night. The cooler climate is going to trigger that bloom spike to initiate. That usually takes 2 to 4 weeks. So
our sunroom does get down. It's dark in the night. We don't use it.
Mm-hmm.
And it also does get down to maybe 64, sometimes maybe 62, even in the evening. So that triggers it. But
I
just wanted to encourage people to up in Northern Cable here, we can still grow them, and they're wonderful and lots of fun.
That's great. That's a great call. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Very much. And, you know, Margaret sent something on our Facebook page, too, a photo that you're going to like. She says, I've owned this moth orchid since 2004 when I received it as a gift. It has not been without a flower since. It's flowered ever since 2004.
Oh, my gosh.
Sometimes as many as 24 blooms at a time. And now, as you can see, it's developed a new plant.
Yeah, yeah. She's got what's commonly known as a kiki. And kiki is a Hawaiian term for baby. And what that's done is actually produced a new plantlet up where the flower stem is. So she, I can see that there's roots on that little kiki. So she can actually cut that off and get that into a pot if she wants. But it looks like the flower stem is still attached perhaps to that kiki, so she's going to want to wait till it's completely done blooming. But she's going to have herself an extra plant of that blooming monster.
Oh, man, that is a beauty. That is something else. Paul and Madison, your turn. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Chuck, Paul Higginbotham.
Well, hello, Paul.
How are you?
Very well.
Good. Hey, listen, I want to talk about the sphagnum moth. With the Phalaenopsis, my experience is because most people want to water orchids at least once a week, the sphagnum is really not a good medium. I would highly recommend, you know, large bark chips, the typical kind that you buy from, you know, like your place, and then water the plant once or twice a week, especially if you've gotten a lot of sun. But sphagnum tends to rot those really thick roots. So that would be, you know, that's been an experience that I've had. There's some plants being sold at Home Depot that come solely in the moths.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I pulled those out of there. Those roots were rotting.
Yeah, there's a huge issue with that kind of marketing because those plants are not cared for well prior to their arrival there. They're imported in spike. They're jammed into a pot that it doesn't belong into because they have to market at a certain size pot. And, yeah, those plants really generally don't have much of a prayer.
No.
Back to the sphagnum moss thing, if the plants are potted properly and started and established properly, it is actually a good product if it's used with the right orchids and you have the right kind of information, you know, with it. You come on out, Paul, and I'll give you a couple of tips. Well, we got a lot of new information on how to deal with the sphagnum moss, and I was totally anti-sphagnum until just over a year ago. And my new information that we have learned, it's just really, it's opened up a whole new door, especially for the Phalaenopsis. Not for a lot of other orchids, but especially for the Phalaenopsis.
Yeah, in fact, I was even going to say that. I thought the Phalaenopsis would be generally hard to grow in that. But and I think you got to really be careful, though, on how much you water it. You know, and you were commenting on cutting the roots. I think the listeners should know that when you make cuts into an orchid's roots, you're going to want to try to clean that cutting utensil in between plants.
Absolutely,
because you're going to carry fungus or bacteria from one orchid to another if you don't do that.
Absolutely, and our care sheets actually address that issue, and the best thing to use is a small torch or a candle that you can heat up your scissors blade with, or just use a simple disposable razor blade and make one cut per plant there. Don't share that tool or those tools on other plants.
Yeah. And then for those folks who have salt buildup in their orchids or if they're fertilizing a lot, every now and then, I'll just take a plant and run it right underneath the faucet and just rinse that stuff out. And I have found that to be a very practical way of trying to control that kind of buildup.
Yep, that's called leaching. You water it initially, let that soak for a while, and then go back and really soak it again. Let that water run through, and that'll dissolve and rinse out some of those solids.
Yep, excellent. Thank you, Paul.
Hey, anytime.
Thanks for calling, Paul.
Appreciate it very much. Chuck Aker, our guest today, orchid specialist with Orchids Garden Center and Nursery in Wanakee. I'm Larry Mueller here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Chuck Aker, our guest on Garden Talk, as we talk with him about orchids today. And speaking of orchids, we've got quite an event, Orchid Quest 2012, coming up on February, was it 4th and 5th?
Yes.
Fourth and fifth, yeah.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Orchid Quest, yes. 25th annual show put on by the local Orchid Society here in Madison. I mean, we're really fortunate to have such an avid orchid following in this, you know, right around this city. These folks have put on just an awesome show. This is probably one of the largest and most attended orchid shows in the upper Midwest. There's a great show in Chicago in the spring at the Botanic Gardens, but I'll tell you, this show has become something to behold. And we're coming up here next weekend, the 4th and 5th. We'll have about 25 or so different vendors there selling their wares. So there's just going to be a plethora of orchids out there. And the exhibit room is something that just is
beautiful,
completely amazing. There'll be close to 40 exhibits in there. Every vendor is going to have an exhibit put up, plus the local orchid societies from the area, all the way, you know, Iowa, Minnesota, Michigan, Illinois, they come too, and they set up their, you know, exhibits from their the members of these societies. So they sometimes have some of the most eclectic plants out of these things. And $7 admission, really not a bad deal getting in there. Two-day pass, you can get in there for $10. Children under 12 are free with an adult. There's some great seminars going on both days. The Saturday starting at 11 o'clock, we have our keynote speaker, Glenn Decker from Galway, New York. He's an avid slipper orchid grower. He's won lots of awards. I mean, this gentleman knows the tropical slippers like the back of his hand. Puts on a great program on how to grow great slipper orchids. And then at 1 o'clock on Saturday, we've got Herman Pigors from Oak Hill Gardens down in Dundee, Illinois, a long-established orchid business, just putting on a very basic program on your orchid's needs and dangers. He's a really great speaker and really helps put a simple twist on how to take care of your orchid collection. And then at 2:30, we have Madison's own Ken Cameron, the director of the Wisconsin State Herbarium, speaking on vanilla orchids. And I've sat in on this program before, and this is amazing. Most people don't even know that vanilla comes from an orchid, and he is a specialist in this. And it is really amazing to learn about the industry of the orchid, the vanilla bean orchid, being produced all over the world. So that's really a great program. And then on Sunday, we also have one, Native Orchids of Wisconsin and the North, put on by the president of the Northeastern Wisconsin Orchid Society, up where there's a lot of native orchids growing. That's at 11 o'clock. And then again, Ken speaks at 12:30 on Sunday, does his vanilla orchid presentation again. So if you happen to miss it on Saturday, come and visit it on Sunday. And then 2 o'clock. Lucas Berna from Paradigm Gardens here in Madison has a great program on lighting. So, you know, they're really a specialized shop for indoor horticultural lighting needs, and there's a lot of new and interesting lighting technology out there nowadays. So if you need to supplement some light for your plant collection, that is going to be a great program to sit in on as well.
So that's the 4th and 5th, and it's located in Madison at the Alliant Energy Center, correct?
Correct.
There we go. And you're going to be there.
Absolutely. We're corporate sponsors of the Orchid Quest, so we bring out the big guns for this one. We have a 100-square-foot exhibit that we'll be putting on there. And the last 3 years, we actually won the American Orchid Society show trophy for most outstanding exhibit there, so that's going to be a hard following.
I'm telling you. Well, I having been there many times, I can defy anybody to go to that event and not walk out with another orchid.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't think I've ever been able to go there and not walk away with
it's pretty
more than
tough.
One, usually.
Yeah,
more than
tough.
One.
A lot of selection out there.
Robert and Nina, it's your turn. Hi, Robert.
Oh.
What can we do for you?
Yes, I have a full-size or a standard, I don't know exactly what it's called, cymbidium.
Yes.
That I've had for 10 years. I've repotted it once. It's filled up my the pot that I have repotted it into, but it has only bloomed the first 2 years, and it has never bloomed since. I keep it outside during the summer. I bring it inside during the winter, and it is huge.
Okay, well, you got a challenger there then. A couple of things I hear when plants doing that is it's probably loaded itself up with nitrogen. Are you fertilizing it quite regularly?
I used to when I had it, okay. When I first had it, I used to use regular orchid fertilizer, but over the ensuing summers and everything outside, I've just been fertilizing it with the same thing that I fertilized my other plants with, which is Miracle-Gro.
Okay. Well, what I would recommend is a couple of things. I would maybe cut back on the amount of fertilizer that you're giving it while it's outside, and then absolutely just stop fertilizing it about August 1st. And that usually helps stimulate these plants to bloom, because what's going on is it's just too happy. You're growing it too happily, and it's promoting vegetative growth, and those vegetative growths are just going to keep coming. The plant needs to be stressed a little bit, and taking away its, you know, source of nitrogen in most cases really gives it a stressor factor. I can't emphasize that enough. And also, do make sure that you're leaving that plant outside until it's really threatening to freeze it. I mean,
Okay,
so you've gone down that road.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So I would recommend that fertilizer. I think you got one that's probably nice and lush growing, nice and green foliage.
It looks like a daylily.
Yeah, you got a lot of growth there. Yeah, you need to starve that thing, so don't fertilize it as much this summer. Maybe half as often, and do stop completely August 1st.
There you go. Thank you for calling, Robert. And on to Roy in Oconomowoc. Hi, Roy.
Yes, I'm a non-gardener that was given an orchid from my daughter. And the thing is, when I got it, it had probably about 20 orchids on it, blooms. And then they dropped off, and I thought, well, we'll just keep it there. And now it's the one stem is about 30 inches high. Well, maybe 2 feet, and there's another one that's coming off on the right about 12 inches above the pot, and it has 3 blooms on it with 4 buds coming out. Now, the thing is that, do you ever cut back the stem?
Well, yes, and it sounds like you have a Phalaenopsis orchid going there.
It's purple. It looks purple. It looks like an iris.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that what I've done is I see it there with this long stem, and I thought, well, maybe I should cut it off. And I thought, well, it's been doing well the way it is. And what as far as watering, I was informed that you take 3 ice cubes a week and just put it on top of the air roots.
Mm-hmm.
And I have done that, and the thing is, as they say, when a person doesn't know anything, you just follow instructions from somebody else.
Right.
But that was troubling me about this long stem. It's curling over, you know, the top stem, and I thought, well, maybe I should cut that back. I have a bamboo thing that's tied to.
Right. Yeah, there's going to be a point there where you're going to need to just cut that stem completely off at some point in between its flowering cycle, mm-hmm. where you see it's taking a break and there's no buds or flowers going on right now. Just cut it off right where it came out of the plant, and that'll promote.
No, it's one stem, mm-hmm. branches off to 12 inches above,
mm-hmm.
and the other one keeps on going. There's nothing on it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, well, maybe I should just cut that off.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you certainly can. You certainly can.
How close to the April or whatever, what do they call it?
Give it about an inch there. Don't cut it too close. Give it about an inch.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Sandra in Wausau wonders, I have cats. Are orchids poisonous to cats?
Well, no, they really are not. You know, very few plants really are all that poisonous. I mean, they have to consume so much, even of some of the plants that are labeled poisonous. But the short answer to that for orchids, no, definitely not. She's totally safe. And, you know, some people have an issue with their cats chewing on the leaves, and that's easily rectified by spraying the leaves with a Tabasco sauce and water mixture, and they soon learn that's not fun. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Rachel went to our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show and posted a great picture of her kitty, as a matter of fact, right next to her orchid. which she brought from you.
Yes.
And she said, I could not get it to bloom, rebloom for 2 years until I put it outside in the summer, and now it has rebloomed twice. And
there you go. These orchids love our Midwestern summer climate. So many of them benefit from that culturing.
So just get it. Just get it out. So do you stick them in the ground, or do you just?
No, the best thing to do is, you know, if you've got a screen porch or sheltered patio, is you just leave them in the pot and take them out so they can experience that ambient outdoor climate, the humidity, the temperature change, and so on and so forth. Otherwise, there's some wonderful hangers that we have that you clamp onto the pot, and you can hang it from a shepherd's hook or the tree branch. A loosely leafed tree is good, like birch or something, or pine. Just getting them out there. They won't take the sunshine too much out there. They have to be in mostly shade, but just getting them out there gives them a whole new lease on life. It's so similar to their native, Central America, South America. Our summer is, you know, so similar to that, so they highly benefit from that.
And a screen porch is pretty much perfect for summertime.
Oh, screen porch is great. You don't have to worry about the, you know, the birds and the squirrels
and the bugs
and whatever's going on. And yeah, the bugs. There's not a lot of bugs that are really an issue, but it's more of animals.
Chuck Aker, our guest today, orchid specialist with Orchids Garden Center and Nursery in Wanakee, Wisconsin. Our guest here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you with us for this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller. So happy to have you along today as we talk orchids with Chuck Aker. Chuck is the orchid specialist extraordinaire, as a matter of fact, with Orchids Garden Center and Nursery in Wanakee, Wisconsin. Huge nursery with literally thousands of orchids on display and for sale, of course. Glad to have him along. Certainly, if you have questions about orchids, do you grow them? What varieties have you had experiences with? Maybe talk about that a little bit with us at 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or please go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a photo. We've lots of photos posted today, but you can also ask your question there. That's at The Larry Mueller Show. Heather in Eau Claire has a question for you, Chuck, so let's go there. Hi, Heather.
Hi. I have one dendrobium and a bunch of phalaenopsis that I used to water by soaking them. And recently I heard about using, as another caller had mentioned, ice cubes for watering. I have been doing that now, and I guess my concern is it good for those orchids to have the ice cubes on their roots? I'm not as much concerned with the dendrobium because, you know, it needs to have that cold period, so I was kind of thinking that it wouldn't hurt that one. But what about the rest of them? And I guess I'd just be interested in hearing any comments about using ice cubes for watering.
Well, it's really a great question, and I appreciate it, because there is a lot of advocation out there from certain companies that are marketing some orchids that they use that technique for watering them. We personally do not advocate that. The reason being, the company that is advocating it has a specially designed pot dimension and specially designed potting medium to accommodate that type of watering. And basically what they're trying to do is just take that fear factor out of the customer, because, you know, the whole watering thing is a little bit challenging, it seems like, for some people. I personally don't recommend it. We really like to see the orchid being watered thoroughly from the top, where the water can run freely from the bottom of the pot if it's in a bark-based type mix. And the reason being, we like to see those roots get flushed with the fresh minerals of the water coming in, the oxygenation, the ion exchange, and there's a whole bunch of different things going on there when that's flushed through like that. So it really, really does the roots a lot of good to water that way, whereas the ice cube is just going to dampen it a little bit. Like I say, you know, it works for that particular company's advocation, but we don't recommend it.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And we had a caller, Mike, who couldn't stay with us. He's from called from Wilmington, North Carolina, listening online there. Wonders if his coastal North Carolina climate is good for orchids. Also, he hears the that saffron is a product of orchids and wonders if that's true.
Well, the latter part of that question, I don't know the answer to, the saffron. I think it is a product of orchids. That one escapes me. But his climate, I mean, definitely, you know, indoors or outdoors, he's probably got a fairly temperate summer climate where he can summer a lot of the tropical orchids outside, I would assume. You know, bring them in when the temperature is falling below their safe parameters, and whether that's, you know, a 40-degree orchid or a 60-degree orchid, you know, it's just about any place in the country is conducive for growing an orchid plant if you, you know, choose the right type of orchid.
Yeah, absolutely. And Judith is just letting me know, she says she thinks it's crocus for saffron.
Yeah.
Saffron comes from crocus. And the fact that it's not on your radar tells me that probably it's not with orchids.
Yeah,
because I think you'd know it if it was. And I think Judith is absolutely right that crocus is the plant where we get saffron from.
All right,
let's go to Vern in Fenimore next. Hi, Vern.
Hi. My mom grew up in rural Grant County. In 1951, moved from the home farm to a house in Fenimore. Brought along a wild lady slipper.
Mm-hmm.
It was there for over 50 years. The last year it bloomed, it had 21 blossoms.
Oh, my gosh.
And I don't know if somebody took it or if it just died. I don't know whatever happened to it. Is there a source where you can legally obtain those native Wisconsin lady slippers?
Yes, absolutely. A very good friend of mine that I've known since, oh my gosh, late 70s, Scott Weber. He runs a business called Blue Stem Farms, and he can be found on the internet as well. And he will also be vending at Orchid Quest this weekend. And he is a native orchid producer, so to speak. And he's very knowledgeable on it as well. He actually does put on programs, too. Often he does one at Orchid Quest. And he does sell the slipper orchids. He has mastered the propagation methods for that particular genre of native Wisconsin orchids. So he does sell when he has them. Certainly look him up on the... I don't have his phone number with me, but certainly look him up on the internet if you have the ability to do so. It's bluestemfarm.com. And if you can't find it, just give me a call, and I'll get you his phone number from the greenhouse.
Thank you very, very much.
Hey, yep, thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot for calling. And you mentioned that this he will be at Orchid Quest this weekend?
Yes, he's a vendor there this year, but he's not putting on his awesome program. He has an amazing program on the native orchids of Wisconsin. I would assume the gentleman that's doing the native orchid presentation this year is amazing as well. So... but Scott does a really great job. He's got an 80-acre farm in the Baraboo Hills there. He's got some native orchids on his property, and, you know, he propagates a lot of different genera of the native orchids of Wisconsin, and he's really, really avid. He's actually one of the leaders of some of the tours and the events that they take the guild members out to the wild and see some of these places in Wisconsin, so... He's a really good guy for that.
And just for those who joined us, may have joined us at the top of the hour, Orchid Quest 2012. It's a two-day event for orchid lovers, for hobbyists, and those who admire all levels of and who have interest in orchid at any level. And maybe you want to buy some, too. It's a great place to go, Orchid Quest 2012. It's going to be held the 4th and the 5th of February. And it's at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. And I forget, was it 10 in the morning it starts, something like
yes,
that?
Yes, opens up at 10 and goes till 5 on Saturday. And Sunday it is 10 to 4.
Okay, so, and yeah. $7.
$7 gets you in for per day, and then a $10 2 day if you don't get enough orchids in one day, which mm-hmm. sometimes you can't. There's so much to see there. I mean, you can spend... hours on itself just in the exhibit room, and once you get into the sales area, you know, you walk around these sales tables, you've got to go around two or three or four different times to really soak everything in. There is so much to see. And then, of course, if you want to sit in on any of the programs, I mean, they're usually an hour long, and you know, with questions and things at the end where you can, you know, get with the speaker personally and really dig into their brain.
Yeah, pretty good deal. We have some more questions. Facebook question from Jeanette. Moth plants' roots look like asparagus stalks. Should I cut them or trim them?
Oh, boy. She's got some roots going right up in the air, it sounds like. You know, at the time of repotting, those roots should go back into the pot, you know. So at this point, I wouldn't say cut them off unless they're in your way where they're, you know, going to be... Mm-hmm. Not you're gonna, you know, knock the plant over or something because they're sticking out all over. We see most of the roots shooting out more, you know, horizontally than vertically. But at the time of repotting, I think, you know, if you can get those down into the pot, would be beneficial for the plant versus cutting them off now.
Facebook question from Karen: how well do vanilla orchid plants grow inside the home? I've seen some in your greenhouse and have wondered about their success.
Oh, that's a great question. Vanilla orchid is really fun to grow. It's actually a vining orchid, so in nature it just goes straight up the tree and, you know, starts to shoot out off to the side, and the flowers mm-hmm. are borne up and down on that vine. We grow them in, you know, small clay pots, like 5 to 6 inches in most cases, and we train them on some type of trellis or totem so they can go up and down. Vanilla orchid is very easy to grow. It's basically a warm grower, so they'll most likely stay in the house for most of the year, and you can put them outside in the summer if it's warm enough. They do like a lot of light, so you'll want to find a good bright window for them. And one of the interesting things about vanilla orchid is it grows terrestrially, meaning that the roots are in the ground, as well as epiphytically, which means that the roots are up in the air and attaching themselves to whatever the totem may be, whether it's a piece of wood or tree fern fiber or whatever. So those roots that are actually out epiphytically in the air like that, they do benefit from some dampening down occasionally to keep them happy and keep the whole vine healthy. So sometimes it's best to have it on a trellis or something where you can, you know, get those air roots and everything wet. If you set one of those things on your countertop and get it going up, it'll climb your wall, it'll go across your windowsill. I mean, those roots will stick to just about anything if you let them. But they are really fun to grow. And it takes about, 15 or 20 feet of the vine to actually get them mature enough to start flowering. And once they flower, you pollinate the flower and you'll have a vanilla bean there in about 4 months.
Yeah, very, very cool. Well, we have callers. By the way, you can join in. We have some open lines. Get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. An email from Dottie in Madison. My moth orchids have small holes and some black spots on their leaves. Otherwise, they're doing great, both in bud again. What might be the cause of these small holes and the black spots?
Yeah, she's probably got some minor fungal problem going on there. And back to the suggestion earlier in the program, I would highly recommend some preventative spraying of Physan 20. And Physan is a wonderful product to use in the orchid family. A basic bactericide, fungicidal product. It's very safe to use. It has a great aroma. It's used just basically as a preventative more so than a curative. So she might want to invest in some of that.
Hmm.
Something else I see that works occasionally on some of those spots, if they seem to be a moist spot, is just dash a little bit of household cinnamon on there. And maybe that will stop it from spreading. It won't correct itself, but hopefully, you know, it won't spread any farther. And the household cinnamon is a great natural bactericide, fungicidal product, too, believe it or not.
Hmm. There we go. We have Kathy in Lancaster next with a comment or question. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Hi. My question, some of the leaves on my orchids look like they've been scrunched up, kind of accordion style.
Okay.
I have no idea what I'm doing wrong.
Okay. What type of orchid is that?
Perhaps
an Oncidium or a Miltonia?
Oncidium would probably... I haven't been able to listen to the whole program. So.
Yeah. Well, the Oncidium has a tendency to do that if the atmosphere becomes severely dry at some point. I would just say misting those leaves occasionally, especially in the fall and the winter when your heating system is going... That might help a lot. We see that even once in a while in the greenhouse. So, You know, sometimes it's more varietal where one particular type of orchid is just a little bit more prone to that. I don't get too alarmed about it when I see it in the greenhouse on a plant occasionally. They usually grow out of it, but in the home, we've seen some customers, you know, battle with it where the plant kind of gets stunted from it. So misting, I think it's a moisture, okay, moisture in the air problem. So a little bit of more moistening on those leaves and a little bit more humidity right at that plant zone will help that.
Mm-hmm. And they might kind of grow out of it then.
Yeah, if it's at an early enough stage right now, you could probably get it to grow out of it. If it's already gone to the point where that growth is somewhat mature and it's still all folded up like an accordion, it may not come out of it. But the subsequent next growth, you know, should do fine if you start that misting, especially when you're indoors with the heating system going.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it, Kath.
Thank you.
Katie in Stevens Point, we'll take your call next. Hi, Katie.
Hi. I have a question about my Phalaenopsis.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it for about 5 years, and this year it's just done better than ever. It's put out probably 4 new leaves since the spring, and it shot up 3 flower spikes, which I'm really excited about. I was just wondering about the Kikis,
mm-hmm,
if there's any way you can encourage to put out those, because I think that would be really neat to see.
Yeah, it really is. And there is a hormone paste that you can buy. It's called Kiki Grow.
Just okay.
Kiki-Grow. And punch that into Google, and you'll find the vendor for that. I'm not sure if he's still up in Canada. That's where the formula was originated from, but there might be some U.S. vendors too. But nevertheless, you'll be able to buy a little tube of it online. And okay, the instructions will tell you how to deal with it. Basically, you put it on the node, the internode of the Phalaenopsis stem, mm-hmm, and it forms, you know, generally speaking, forms some plantlets there. Sometimes it does some weird things, you know, it'll give you a, mm-hmm, flower spike instead of a plant, but it's worth a try.
Do you think anybody will have it at Orchid Quest, or should I just go online?
You know, I've never really seen it floating around there at any of the vendors. You know, we're more about plants than supplies and stuff like that. A lot of the vendors that come from, you know, out of state and so on, concentrate on loading their vehicles with plant material.
Yeah.
You know, we bring a lot of supply material because we're local, but no, I don't think you'll find that there.
Mm. Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Thanks a lot for calling. Sherry in Appleton, on to you now. Hi, Sherry.
Hi. I have a question about a care of an orchid I got as a gift for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of these is marketed as Just Add Ice.
Okay.
No.
And I quickly got straight on that. I'm not doing that anymore. But my question is, I was told to put it in a sunny window, which it is. But, you know, the cold wind comes, not so much lately, but it will at some point in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to remove that orchid from the bright sunny window, or are they not so sensitive to cold?
Well, what exposure is this window?
South.
Okay, so you're getting a nice warming day there, and,
right,
you know, regardless of sometimes how cold it can be at night, you know, if your household temperature isn't dropping much below 60, I highly doubt if that area and that window is going to get much below, you know, 58 or so even.
Right.
But, you know, if you're feeling like you walk up to the pot and that you grab a hold of the pot and that pot's really cold to the touch, you know, go ahead and move it for the night.
Okay.
But generally speaking, it's not so much of an issue. Most orchids don't mind a little bit of that temperature differentiation. It's actually good for them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then how long would the blooms, the blossoms be expected to stay on? I just came home for lunch and I see one dropped.
Well, the Phalaenopsis from start to finish will bloom for 2 to 4 months in most cases, depending on how long it was in bloom when you purchased it, you know, has a little bit to do with that too. But on average, they're 2 to 4 month bloom time from start to finish.
Okay, good. Well, great. That answers my questions. Thank you so much.
Great. Thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it very much. We have some emails, by the way, here. You can still join us at 1-800-642-1234. Sing Wonders in Wausau if you can bring back a dying orchid. Your co-worker was on vacation or orchid was overwatered.
Uh-oh.
And all the flowers are gone. The stem turned brown.
Oh, boy.
That doesn't sound very good.
No, that doesn't sound very good. You know, depending what the root system is like, it's going to tell you all right there. So basically, you got to pull it out of the pot and look at what you got left for roots. And if you can feel that there's more than 50 or 60% good roots there, trim off the bad. you know, get it potted up into a pot, probably smaller again with some fresh mix, and do a little misting on the leaves and, you know, see if you can revive it. Some orchids bounce back really well from that, and others will just struggle and languish, and some just flat out die right away. So, you know, depending what it is, it's worth a try.
Well, why not? I mean, what's the alternative? You just throw it out and it's gone.
Yeah,
so you might as well hang on to it for a while anyway and see if you can bring it back.
And it's highly rewarding when you're successful. So.
And as you say, you've been proven wrong more than once.
You know, and I love that too, because that just shows the diligence of our orchid community. So I really love that. It always brings a smile to my face.
Let's go to Susan in Bangor, Wisconsin. Hi, Susan. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I've got an orchid that's about 16 years old, a Phalaenopsis, and it's in the original pot. Well, no, I think I did transplant it once, but it's got more than one head, you know, thing coming out of it that blooms, and it blooms twice a year,
mm-hmm.
if not, you know, maybe three, but twice a year.
Right.
And I don't know if I should just leave well enough or alone, but I tell you, this pot, it's almost like I have to be careful that it doesn't tip.
Right, yeah.
And
yeah.
So is it better to, you know, to just leave it alone?
Well, you know, there's going to be a day of reckoning there where something's going to happen in that root zone where that mix that it's in is going to get so decomposed and the properties of it are going to change to the point where the pH is so off, mm-hmm. and the aerative qualities of it are so off, and all of a sudden, the thing's going to hit the wall, so to speak. I know that you're probably reluctant to deal with it, but, you know, sometimes
it would be smart.
Sometimes you have to do that, you know, as much as you don't want to because it's been so happy. But when you do deal with it, try to be, you know, ginger with it. Just if it's a clay pot, just maybe try to smash the pot while you're holding on to it to break it away from the roots instead of pulling it out of the pot.
It is a clay pot.
Yeah, so just break that thing apart gently, you know, and peel some of that clay away from the roots. One little tip with that before you do that is moisten it thoroughly. And those roots, you know, about an hour later, those roots will come off of that clay a little bit easier. And then once you got it open like that, don't take all the old mix off. It may sound counterintuitive, but you don't want to take it all off and add entirely new because you're going to really stress the plant. There's certain beneficial symbiotic fungi that need to be there with that new mix, so leave some of that old stuff with it and then put it in a pot that's appropriately sized, not too big, just enough to hold the roots, and add your mix and firm it in.
So really, I'll just be using new mix to fill in the little bit bigger pot. I can leave what's around the roots on.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Take off about 50% of the old mix.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, about that much, and that should keep you in a safe zone with your beneficial fungi. Add your new mix and firm it in good with your fingertips. Don't water it for about a week, and then leave it sit so it can dry out and heal up,
mm-hmm.
and then don't fertilize either right away. We see that being an issue, too.
Mm.
Well, it's just about to bloom now again, so I would do that after it's done blooming.
Correct.
Yeah. Correct.
Correct.
Yep.
Well, thank you.
Well, nice plant you have there. Way to go.
Thank you very much for calling. And Chuck, thank you so much. Boy, this time flew by. I guess we're going to have you on a little more often to talk about
it. It'd be a pleasure, Larry.
I tell you what. And we've got Orchid Quest coming up on February 4th and 5th at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. I believe we have a link to that on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And we also have a link to Orchids Garden Center and Nursery in Wanakee, where Chuck serves and works as the orchid specialist. So I tell you what, if you're interested in seeing a lot of orchids, well, go to Orchid Quest for sure. And you might want to stop out at Orchids Garden Center sometime if you want to see, I don't know, several thousand orchids in one spot. Oh, man. Well, Monday, Don Stanley will be here to talk about social media with us and how to use it well. And then at 11:45, the weather guys stop by to talk about where we're at with our winter temperatures and snowfall. Thanks for listening. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.